I've stuck by the boundaries, but it's left me emptier than I've ever been in my life. I look like I'm coping with stuff, and I don't think people realise how hard I try underneath.
I mean, in a sense, for your mum to be right, a lot of people have to be wrong.
I've gone through so much grief in my life, it's like, why am I putting myself through it again?
But this is a grief that keeps on happening because it doesn't complete. This is In Therapy with Alex Howard, a first-of-its-kind series that places you directly in the therapy room. My name is Alex Howard, and it is my hope that by bringing you on the journey with us, you too can learn the tools to transform your life. This series, we're following Hayley, whose traumatic upbringing has resulted in severe depression and anxiety, as well as debilitating obsessive-compulsive disorder. Hayley has come to In Therapy because she's decided enough is enough and wants to live the rest of her life free from the constraints of the past. You're allowing yourself to be with the historical pain, but you're not buying the story of it.
I do everything I can, but it's my right.
Yeah.
Because it's my bloody right and I feel really strongly about it.
You've done everything that one can do in life to earn self-respect and self-worth. And I think it's important that you let yourself see that.
Join us each week as we follow every step of Hayley's journey, both in and outside of the therapy room. As well as the tools I give Hayley in the sessions, I'll also be sharing weekly top tips so you can begin to unlock your true potential. This is In Therapy.
Hi, we're just packing to go to Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Hayley and I are taking a longer break between sessions than normal. This is a good opportunity for her to put the tools into practice without the safety net of our weekly sessions. As such, my producers Oliver and Jeremiah aren't doing their normal visit and have instead asked Hayley to keep them updated with video diaries.
It's really hard for me to leave my mum because we're like 5 hours away, but I can go back if she needs me. So although it's a lot of effort and I'm a little bit too tired for it really, I'm going to make the effort to go to Edinburgh. So it's an active thing that I've done to try and improve my mood and my mental well-being and try and create some memories, because I think my life's in danger of getting very small and me getting trapped again. So yes, I'm just putting stuff in. Bye.
So just got a... The doctor's on the phone and they said for me to go in for my MRI scan result tomorrow. So we'll go away and sit with the anxiety for a week, worrying about my results, and then try and get another appointment quicker than 5.5 weeks, or do a cancel holiday and go to the doctor's. Damn it. I'm really worried. I'm going to go to Edinburgh. I'm laughing. I'm sorry, I'm laughing. I'm bloody genius, I am. I can have a telephone appointment, so I can do both. I just forget to think logically when I'm stressed and upset. It's a good lesson to take a step back and think logically. But I was going to go. I would have made a different decision based on living rather than anxiety, but I was prepared to go, but I'm going to get the phone call anyway, so which is a bit scary, but I'm going to focus on the moment and we're going on holiday. Bye.
Hiya. Wave, Pete. So we're just at Edinburgh Fringe at the moment. Can you see the castle? Is it above your head, Pete?
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah, but yeah, it's taken my mind off my anxiety, so we're just having a little break, really, which is really nice. Bye.
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 Just had a phone call from the doctors, and I've completely ripped my meniscus like right, proper good, excellent tear. So it's a long process, but yeah, it was what I knew. So I've managed to reduce my anxiety a lot by keeping occupied with other things and using the stop process. I still felt really sick just before I knew I was going to call. And I think I'm always going to have those quirky little things. I'm always going to be quite reactive. I think it's just the way I am. But I think it's about reducing that and the bits I can't reduce so that I'm not at all bothered. I don't think that's ever going to happen for me, but I'm managing it in a better way. I'm stopping the snowball thinking, and I realise that by doing different things like coming to Edinburgh, I'm not focused on the anxiety, I'm focused on living my life. So I'm just going to try and relax a bit. Yeah. Okay, bye. Bye.
It's now been about a month since Hayley's last session. I was really glad to see her prioritising her self-care by going on holiday. And I'm keen to know what other ways she has been looking after herself. Just to note, there are some maintenance works going on outside the building during the session, which Oliver tried his best to edit out. Here's the session.
It's also because I know that going on holiday has been a difficult thing because from the dynamics with your mum.
Yeah.
That's really great that you were able to go away. I'm wondering, do you recognise that for the progress that it is? Like, you give yourself credit for the fact that you recognise that's something that you needed and you actually went and did it.
Yeah. It was, I was wired and edgy and anxious and ready to run back. But I did it. So, yeah.
And was it nice to your husband as well?
It was really good, yeah. So it was positive.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. So you've been putting things in place in terms of looking to create positive experiences, which is great. What else have you been doing?
I'll pass my counselling exam.
So congratulations.
We can swap seats now. I can sit over there. Here we are today with Jeremiah with a phobia of rats. So that's really good. It's a big thing because I look like I'm coping with stuff, and I don't think people realise how hard I try underneath.
Yeah.
And I look like I can say hello to people and be friendly, and I can do this and that and the other, and people don't see the paddling like hell underneath.
I get it.
And I'm absolutely, every single thing I do, I am paddling like hell.
Yeah, I get that.
And so I sort of did the counselling thing, and we had to do like different modules. Like, we had to be assessed counselling someone, we had to be assessed in the modalities of counselling, like CBT, person centred, Freudian, psychoanalysis, transactional analysis. We had to do all that. We had to do a written exam. We had to do a presentation. We had to do ethical stuff and stuff like that. And it was hard. It was really hard. And I was ribbed in the class because everyone was like, you know this, you can do this and all this. But they didn't realise how much work I was putting in behind the scenes and stuff.
I understand.
So I passed it. I was quite pleased because I got 100% on the written exam.
Wow.
So the exam board actually sent me a special letter saying you actually got 100%.
Wow. Congratulations.
But I did hundreds of hours.
But even so.
Yeah, it was okay. Well, it was okay because it was under exam conditions. And I'd been meditating beforehand, and I usually get that anxious. And the meditation helped before I did it. Mm. And so I'm just chewing over whether to do the next level or not, whether to put myself through something else or just give myself a break. What else have I done? I got two jobs, but I turned one down.
I didn't know we were looking for jobs.
I wasn't. I wasn't looking for jobs. I wasn't looking.
So you talked me through it.
Yeah. Got a message from it sounds like I'm showing off. I'm not.
But I'm asking you questions. I'm answering.
Yeah. So I got an award for inspirational heart hero a couple of years ago. Mm. So I got this award, and so they wrote to me and said, "Look, we're headhunting you. Would you like to do this?" So it's tied in with the universities, and they wanted somebody with knowledge of mental health, knowledge of heart, and passionate about sport, and it's like working with the NHS, encouraging people with it was collaborative like that with the universities, and it sounded like it's a dream job. and I was really up for it, but this, it was really well paid, but they said it was online, and I'm like, I don't want to do online.
You need community.
Just don't. I need people.
Yeah,
you know, I die without people. I really do. And I was thinking, I spent all my life like isolated, and it's like, if you'd told me to be anywhere in the country, I'd be there at my own expense.
But yeah,
don't make me work alone. So I just said, I can't do it, because I need people. Yeah.
Well done for recognizing your need.
Yeah.
And that's really amazing, because you could easily have said, oh, it's very flattering, they want me, or like, oh, I'm just going to ignore. And I really love the fact that you really recognize how important that is for you.
Yeah, 100%. It was like, just no.
Yeah.
So that's that one. And then I went to the theatre. We've got like a, it's a professional theatre. It's like New Vic Theatre in Newcastle. And I went there the other night, and a guy who used to be my boss, when I worked with children with autism.
Yes.
So he was my boss. I just walked in and he said, you, he works for the theatre. He's like, come on, you can do this. We've got loads of vacancies. What do you want to do? I said, I can't do it. And he says, yes, Hayley, you worked for me for 10 years. I know you can do it. You just don't think you can. So I said, award. But I'm going to see how it goes.
How do you feel about it?
Yeah, it's really weird because... I go start crying. I don't think I can do anything, but everybody else tells me I can do stuff, and it's like, I just don't see it. But everyone's like, you can do it. I'm always getting offered jobs, seriously. It's just weird. It's just really weird. Like, I can't do it.
It sounds like historically in those situations you've just outright said no. Whereas it sounds like in this situation you're actually really thinking about saying yes.
Yeah, I think so.
I also think when you say everyone else says that you can do it, except you tell yourself that you can't, I want just to challenge that a little bit, that it's your inner critic that tells you that you can't.
Yeah.
The challenge has been, as we've talked about historically, that you end up feeling so aligned to your inner critic that it's a struggle to separate out you from your inner critic.
Yeah. I think it is the perfectionist streak as well, because it's... I got to let go of that, because that exam that I did, I was spending 40 hours a week revising for something that was really quite easy. And it's just ridiculous over the top, isn't it? Because I've got to get 100%. Got to. It's stupid, isn't it?
Who tells you that you've got to?
I know. When I was little, if I got something wrong, or even if I didn't, it's dire consequences. Yeah. So I tried to be perfect in everything I did, so I didn't flare up the arguments. So if I could be perfect and do everything perfect and get everything perfect, but it didn't work.
So just because I think that's a really good insight, the learning was, if you don't get things perfect, it's not safe, because arguments will happen and things will happen. And so your sense of safety is effectively tied to having to do things perfectly. The problem is that in your life now, the constant pressure to do things perfectly actually makes you, I think, less safe, not more safe, because of the constant pressure and stress that it puts on your system.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
Because if you think about going back to do some work, which, by the way, I think is an excellent idea. Mm-hmm. I think it's an excellent idea, not from the point of view of having to, you know, do a job, but from the point of view of having some purpose and being around people. And I think you're someone that, as much as you've gone through these chapters in your life of being very isolated, I think you're someone that, as you recognize, is a people person. Mm. The problem is that if all the things that have to happen for you to be able to feel safe around people are this enormous mountain to climb, the being around people becomes completely and utterly unsustainable. You know, if all the things that you need to do to be able to do a job involve endless sort of anxieties or endless things that you have to do to satisfy the OCD elements and so on, then it's not the job that is the stress, it's all the stuff that's being created around it that becomes the stress.
Yeah.
The good thing is that's the stuff that we're A, putting a spotlight on, and then B, working to change.
100%, yeah.
It's great to see Hayley prioritizing herself, taking on new challenges and recognizing her needs. This is all amazing progress, and she has worked hard for it. But because Hayley was taught that her safety in the world is tied to doing things perfectly, when she starts to put herself out there, this pattern is triggered. But just because it's a story she's believed for a long time, it doesn't make it true. And this is part of what we need to challenge next.
I'm also curious as to how things have been in dynamics with your mom and that that side of things.
I've stuck by the boundaries, but it's left me emptier than I've ever been in my life. I'm more devastated and I'm dreaming about it and waking up crying. It's really breaking me to stick to the boundaries.
Talk me through the boundaries you've been sticking to.
Well, it's there was a bit of a fallout with my brother and his girlfriend. Not a words fallout, but me putting some distance. So my mum wants me to pretend nothing happened, and I want to, if I'm going to do that, I want to chat with...
You want to challenge the issues, yeah.
Yeah, because I don't have to and nobody wins, but it feels important to me.
Yes.
Because my voice has never been heard and I'm going to be incredulously nice to her. I don't fall out with her. I feel really sorry for her. I'll do everything I can, but it's my right.
Yeah.
Because it's my bloody right and I feel really strongly about it. But that will never go down well because...
But how do you feel about you when you're becoming stronger to hold your boundaries? Are you able to recognize that that's a positive in terms of you being able to kind of to honor yourself and stand up for what you feel is important?
It's really interesting because if I can be really honest, I've never hated myself more when I do it. I'm waking up. And the only feeling I'm getting is a feeling I've experienced before when somebody's died. And that feeling that this is something dreadfully wrong and I'm dreaming about it and I'm waking up aching and I'm depressed and it's really, it's knocking me, it's really hammering me. It's easier to go back to the old.
Yeah. But you see, that feeling of... grief or loss or emptiness that you describe is in that moment there's a separation that's happening because you're feeling distant, because you're feeling that you've been cast out or because you've put a boundary in place or because she's angry at you, whatever that may be.
Yeah.
But in that moment, there's the beginning of a separation.
Yeah.
And then what you're doing is anything you can to put it back to the way that it was before.
Yeah.
But actually, the real way out of this is actually to grieve through that separation, like to actually be able to be with that feeling of hurt or loneliness or whatever. Because if you can metabolize that and process that, then you're actually separate. You're actually separate in a way that I think is healthy and important.
Okay.
But it's almost like in your attempt to escape that place, you're staying stuck in this dynamic.
Mm. I've gone through so much grief in my life. It's like, why am I putting myself through it again? It's like, you know.
But this is a grief that keeps on happening because it doesn't complete.
Mm.
You know, it's a sort of classic, for want of a better word to describe it, codependent relationship.
Mm.
Because as much as you're, from your mum's point of view, you are the kind of the punch bag, the victim, the place that she can sort of put her stuff. You are, in a sense, trying to protect yourself from that place by staying in this historical dynamic.
Mm. I get it, yeah. I am approaching it now with whatever she throws at me, it's her stuff. And I'm not rubbish at everything like you say. I'm actually okay at some stuff. And everybody tells me I'm okay at stuff. It's only you that don't think you are.
It's you're just projecting that you used to believe her more than anyone else.
Yeah, I used to. But now I'm like, I'm not believing everyone else, but I'm considering there might be a slight possibility that they might be right. So it's still only a possibility.
Yeah.
But it is a possibility. I'm not.
Could we call it a distinct possibility?
Yeah, maybe. What's the word, empirical evidence that I'm not rubbish at everything because I've just passed the test. So there you go, I passed something.
I mean, in a sense, for your mum to be right, a lot of people have to be wrong.
Yeah.
A lot of quite intelligent people have to be very wrong if your mum's right.
Yeah. Yeah, I do feel stronger because I've held to it and I've never done it before, but I've held to it and stuck by my boundaries, really. But it's cost me.
Coming back to that feeling that you get when you put a boundary in place, how do you respond to that feeling?
It just plunges me back into like severe depression. It makes me feel like my life's not worth living and I'm like kind of done here.
So the feeling is you feel empty, depressed, like your life is meaningless. How do you respond to that feeling? Are you welcoming of it? Are you rejecting of it? Are you judging of it? Are you afraid of it? What's your...
I'm looking at it to what it can teach me. So I'm looking at it thinking, okay, what do I learn from this? I'm not a victim to it, but I acknowledge its power over me. It does have power over me. And I'm weighing it up. Is this worth it or is it not worth it? And at the moment it's feeling, this isn't worth it. This isn't worth the pain. I'll just ride it out. But there are some changes.
I know.
Yeah, because yeah. I'm like, I look like I'm all weak and whatever, but I'm such an arse, you know. I can really hold my own. It's like, you should see me if I go for something.
I know, and I believe that to be true. I think what I'm trying to say is that you put a boundary in place, and then this part of you, the little girl in you, feels terrified and afraid and hopeless and empty and alone and various things. Rather than buying that story, it's going, I recognize that that's how she feels. Mm. It may not be true, but it's how she feels.
Mm.
And it's okay for her to have those feelings.
That's really interesting because you put the feeling on me, whereas the feeling was actually my mum's going to kill herself. It was more about her, not the little girl. It was more, my mum's going to do this. It's going to be my fault. But you actually thought it was...
Well, the impact of that is how that then makes you, the little girl, feel.
Okay.
That it's her fault that she's got to stop it or she's responsible for it.
Yeah.
Okay. And so in a sense, your mum's weaponizing of suicide or threat of whatever is a trigger to the little girl in you.
Yeah.
And then that trigger allows you to be sucked into the behavior.
Okay.
And what we're talking about here is the trigger happening.
Yeah.
You having that feeling response.
Yeah.
But then not having that weaponized against you, that you just allow yourself to have the feeling.
Yeah.
And that means you might feel afraid, you might feel alone, you might feel sad, but you have the feeling, but you're staying present to the feeling.
Okay.
What do you think would happen if you did that?
I know the intellectual answer, but I know the personal answer. Because the intellectual answer is it will pass like every other feeling.
But what's
personal answer is I get stuck. And I don't know if it's about my OCD, the way my brain works, but I get wedged.
Say more about that.
Yeah. So I am trying. I'm sorry if you think I'm not.
I think you're doing great. I think you're doing great. I think we're asking some really tricky and nuanced questions here.
So I stuck with my boundaries and for two and a half weeks, I struggled to even physically move. Everything felt so heavy.
Mm.
It was really hard and heavy. And I tried to intellectualize it in my brain. And I tried to think what you would say in this situation. And I tried to stay with it. I did stay with it. Mm. I didn't cave.
How was that? Hard.
Yeah, rubbish. It felt like it was setting me back rather than moving me forward.
In what way?
Felt like I was going more into the depression than when I started, more into the hopelessness, more into the can't be asked to do anything. Felt like it was draining my life source from me.
And what did you do in response to that?
I went really energetic and signed up to loads of things to try and engage with life.
Yeah. Again. Well done. You know, part of what we're talking about here, which is why I think it's so tricky for so many of us, is we're talking about two seemingly contradictory things being true at once. So one thing we're talking about is really letting yourself have these difficult feelings and emotions, particularly feelings and emotions that go back many, many years that have been used to manipulate and control historically your behavior, like they've been weaponized against you. So what we're talking about is letting yourself actually feel and metabolize and process those emotions. So that's one truth. The other truth we're talking about is not buying into those emotions and actually recognizing, I feel hopeless, alone, unloved, and I'm not going to buy that bullshit. And actually what I'm going to do is I'm going to go and sign myself up to things that, excuse me, that are going to be things that are going to be positive and things that are going to be, give you community and are going to give you a sense of purpose and give you a sense of excitement for things. And so you're allowing yourself to be with the historical pain, but you're not buying the story of it.
Okay.
You're writing a new story.
Yeah. So to acknowledge that I'm feeling this in my body, but just because I'm feeling it, it doesn't mean the narrative attached to that is true. I'm not letting people down.
You got it.
It's, you know, so I may feel this, but the narrative that I attach to that, the meaning I give to that is not true.
You got it.
Yeah. Okay.
10 out of 10.
Mm. Don't worry, I'll forget it in a minute.
That's all right.
I get it. I guess it goes back to this idea that our feelings are trying to teach us something, and we acknowledge them, feel them, work through them, process them.
Yeah, it's having the energy of our emotion without buying the story that's attached to it.
Yeah, I can do that.
And your job is to go out there and decide what the story is, about deciding what this all means. Because what I'm hearing is that there's a lot of energy in you for new friendships and new relationships and new challenges and new opportunities, and particularly given some of the physical limitation in terms of your knees and that sort of thing, that's all the more reason to not just go into a place of, oh, well, I can't go running, I can't do this, therefore I can't do anything, as opposed to going, there's all this other stuff that I love, that I want to do, that is only going to happen if you put your energy into making it happen.
Yeah.
Hayley and I are touching into a key theme together here. We can be deeply impacted by something that has happened to us, but still choose not to buy the story that accompanies those feelings. Feeling the feelings is important because it's part of digesting the trauma held in our physical and emotional bodies. But just because we're validating the feelings, we don't need to validate or buy into the story we have learnt around them. Indeed, often this story is not only incorrect, but is at the heart of what is keeping us trapped in our lives now. By learning to challenge the story and ultimately to rewrite it to what is true in our lives now, we're learning to leave our past in the past and create our future on our own terms.
I also am mindful in terms of our time together and how we progress and how we evolve from this point. And how I feel about it is I feel you have done and are doing some really fantastic work. I think you are working with some pieces here which have been in place for a very long time, are very challenging, and have lots of different elements and pieces that hold them together. And I want to make sure that you continue to have the support that you need, because I feel we've started a process. We've got some momentum with a process, but I feel like there's still more work to do, which, by the way, is true for all of us in our own ways. And I don't want you to feel that it's suddenly we finish a day and then it's like, bye, Hayley, good luck. So what I was going to propose was maybe we have a few more sessions, but spread out more time apart. So you've got some milestones to work towards that. So maybe we have a session, for example, in a few months' time, and another one perhaps a few months after that, and we sort of see how that is. So it doesn't just go into a kind of void of, well, that's finished. And so it gives you some direction and something to work towards. But also I'm aware that the intensity of you having up until the last few weeks come down every week is also really intense in your life.
Mm.
So that's what I had in mind. But I'm also really curious as to how does that sound? Did you have something different in mind? What do you feel you need? Yeah, what are your
I've been crying all week because I thought I'd never see you guys again. You. I've been like, no. I've been like sobbing, texting Oliver. I mean, that sounds amazing. The only thing that I am slightly concerned about is I don't want to create an interdependency on people when I should be able to stand up on my own. And I recognise that the point of therapy is for me to not sit in therapy, but for me to take the tools and I do the work. Mm. And it's not fair to expect everybody else to support me. It's down to me. It's my... So I'm thinking I'm sort of getting extra help and really it should be about me sorting it.
I hear that. A couple of things I want to say. Firstly, 8 sessions is a very arbitrary number, which, you know, it could have been 10 sessions or 12 sessions. It just so happens that that's from the kind of construct of the series.
Yeah.
But also it's my job as a therapist to also recognize my own boundaries. If you started emailing me 5 times a day, I'd say, Hayley, I need to put some boundary in place.
Yeah.
Or if I thought that you were becoming dependent upon me, we would have a conversation about that. But I don't feel that at all. Yeah. I feel that you are bravely working with some very difficult, complex material and you're making some really good progress and you've got some momentum and having some ongoing support around that. And I'm not saying forever, and I'm not saying keep going at this level of intensity. I'm saying let's start off with a plan of a couple of touch points over the next 3 or 4 months where we can check in, have a session and see where you're at.
Yeah.
I don't think that is any kind of dependency. Yeah. I think that that's getting to a certain point and having a conversation together and going, what feels like the most helpful and supportive next step?
Yeah.
And by the way, you know, if someone doesn't work with any of the practitioners in the clinic, it's exactly this conversation as well. Someone has a block of sessions and what do you need next? So this is not... I'm not doing something here with you, which is any different to what I would do with any other client.
Yeah.
It's just, we just happen to be in an unusual context because we're also filming.
Yeah. 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 It sounds really good. Thank you. It would be if I could wish for anything, it would be that.
Okay. Great. Great. In terms of your focuses over the next few months.
Yeah.
What do you feel is most important for you to focus on?
I need to create some happier experiences so that when the rough stuff comes, there's some days that are worth the memories.
Yeah.
So it will be stabilizing because it's been quite difficult and been like swimming, drowning. So it would be stabilizing. I do the candle meditation stuff.
Yeah, which sounds like it's helping. So I'm really encouraging you to continue with that.
I always say I don't think it's ever going to be my thing compared to jogging and stuff like that. But it's, I do it every day.
Yeah.
That's a good thing about having OCD.
You don't forget to do things.
But I do it with a light touch. And the sort of least noise seems to help me better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the science behind it with the alpha and beta brainwaves and stuff. So I'll carry on the meditation and putting in place stuff to, so I've got like a support network, balanced support network. I'm working with the thoughts. I'm not being a victim of the thoughts. If I get a thought, I'm deciding, is it teaching me something? Do I need to let it go? Do I need to use the stop process? So I'm not a victim to those thoughts anymore. I'm looking at it with curiosity, saying, what do we do with this? You know, so I've got more control, not control over thoughts, but I can decide what to do. Is it teaching me something? The boundaries with my mum, I will think about what you've said and just process it and within my personality do what I can with that.
You got enough to work on then?
Yes.
That's like quite a lot to me.
Yeah.
Which I think is great.
Yeah.
And I would add to that what we've been talking about the first part of today, which is to be able to have these difficult feelings and emotions.
Yeah.
And they be okay. And they don't have to be so overwhelming that you then go back to the old pattern.
Okay.
And also that you can have those feelings, but just because you feel something, it doesn't mean it's true. That you can have the energy of the feeling without necessarily buying the story that goes alongside it.
Yeah, it's dropped. the good. Pennies dropped. It's very slow. Did you hear the bang? Okay.
Do you have any questions for me at this point?
No, I'm okay, thank you.
Okay, good.
Can you just summarise that in the thing? Yeah. Did you sort of mean that in a few months come back here?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's because I want to see these guys.
Yeah. I mean, someone's going to like them.
That's all I'm bothered about. I'm not bothered about
me, are you? It's not the therapy in me. It's going to come and see these two.
You were rather like you as well. you just put in a little thing. Thank you very much. I'm okay.
You're welcome.
Thank
you. Okay, good. Thank Lovely you. To see you.
Thank you.
Hayley has taken some significant steps in her therapeutic journey and is learning to really question the stories that she has been conditioned to believe to be true. This allows her to envision a quite different future. And for now, those old patterns still have some power when she isn't actively challenging them, which is a key part of her continued focus. Next week will be the last episode with Hayley for the time being, but we will return to her story in time. Between next week and early January, when we will be meeting our next participant, we will be continuing with weekly episodes where I will be answering your questions and exploring some of the key themes raised in the season. More on this in next week's episode. In the meantime, you can listen here as a podcast or watch the episodes on YouTube. To help support you in coming on the journey with us, I've created some materials to accompany the series. Each week, there is a bonus video with me and a worksheet to bring the session to life for you. In this week's reflections, you can explore the stories you have learned to tell yourself and whether they still serve you in your life now. You can find these resources for free at intherapy.alexhoward.com. Here's what's coming up next week.
How has it been for you reading the comments? I know you've seen some of these, and this is only a few of them. I literally exclaimed, holy shit.
Yeah.
This lady is badass.
Yeah, I love it. I love that.
The tendency after a while is going to be to start to go into a bit of a kind of cruise mode, a maintenance mode with it. But it's one of those things that if you're not actively working on it, it'll slip back.
Yeah.
In Therapy with Alex Howard is produced by Jeremiah Fernandez, Alex Howard himself, and me, Oliver Halls. For more information, visit alexhoward.com.